So once again, I'm so grateful for everyone here. So now we are going to share in the Word of God, and mostly we will share about our relationship with God, because this is the biggest challenge in a Christian life, in the whole churches around the world, not only this side, not only Africa, Asia, Europe, everywhere. This has been a very big challenge, our relationship with God. We have mostly get comfortable in the way how we are, and we forgot to have our own relationship with God. So today we will look how does it look like, and what are we supposed to do, and what brings that. So a relationship with God is not just because it's not about following religious rituals. It is about knowing Him personally, growing in love and truth, and allowing the relationship to influence the way you live. In my childhood, I grew up in church. My dad is a pastor, and going to church was compulsory. Whether you're sick, whether you're fine, you have to go to church. And me being at church as a child, it helped me to get to understand, to learn more of the verses. We had some clubs at church, like Awana. I don't know anyone who's familiar with Awana. Well, like, we could memorize verses and they could give us gifts. So even in church, you just get involved and like you do some stuff. Sweeping, for us, we sweep in Uganda. We sweep, like you wipe everything, you join the choir. And like in that, in all of those stuff that I could do, people in the church would say, "Thank you, you are a good boy." And I would love that. And I grew up loving that, trying to go to church because people look at me as a good person. They love me. See, they love me doing that. But then 2013, it's when I got saved. And after getting saved, surprisingly, I got to know that I had never had relationship with God. My relationship was with the church. I just had a relationship with the church. I never had relationship with God. But then when I was in the church, I considered myself be saved. I knew that I was saved. I was born in a Christian family. We could do all, we could pray. But then my relationship with God was not there at all. It was with the church. And here many people know about God, but they don't truly know God. They just have information about God. In our country, we love soccer, and you find that we have almost every information about our favorite players. You know their net worth, you know their cars, you know the number that they play in the field. But then really, you don't know that person because you have no relationship with the person. Just you have the information with the person. Same applies to us Christians. We know Bible stories. Some like went to schools and they know Christian doctrine, but you find that you have Christian doctrine just to win your argument. You're not having it to get to understand who's God to guide you in this Bible. I find that even we attend churches regularly, some even we know how to quote some verses in the Bible. But then we find that our personal relationship with God is not there, and Jesus warned about it. So we are going to turn our Bibles in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. God created us for relationship. He created us for relationship. And here in the Bible, it reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." These are the people that were created by God, and they were given everything in the garden. But then they told them not to eat, even to touch on the tree of the midst of the garden. But then when we go on verse 2 of the same chapter, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." They knew it, and here is Eve telling the serpent. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." God said that you shall die, but the serpent have said that you shall not die. And when we continue, for God do know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." That is the serpent trying to seduce the woman. "And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. God created us for relationship. And here, see, before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve walked with God. They had fellowship with God. They enjoyed that open fellowship. After their disobedience, everything changed. And here on verse 8, it says that they hid. Why did they hide? Because they were ashamed. The verse told us, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They felt guilty. They knew they had disobeyed God's command. They disobeyed, and they got afraid. Because you see, sin had changed changed their relationship with God from joyful fellowship that they used to have now to a fearful separation. And yet God created us for fellowship. He desired conversation, communion, love, but sin destroyed that relationship. And since that day, every human heart has had an empty place that only God can fill. No amount of money, career, success, marriage can replace the presence of God. And this is where I come in this era where there is a lot of development. Nice road. Things are becoming more easier. Communication, it is getting more easier and easier. Now you can communicate to a person on the other side of the globe and you communicate very well than the other days where they could just send a messenger. Things are becoming more better. And you see, there is now more power, more freedom. But all of those without God, they are shallow. To have that freedom, now people, they have started identifying themselves as cats. Some, they have that freedom. I'm a cat. I'm trapped in this body. So I was supposed to be a woman, but I'm trapped in man's body. That is sin. We are looking that satisfaction, but we will never get satisfaction on our own. It is only God. Since that day when we sin, there is that lust that keeps on yearning unto God. We will try as much as we could, but then we will not get satisfied. There is a lot of greed, and that greed will never satisfy the heart. They say that greed is like fire. The more you feed it, the hungrier and more it needs. And when you see people trampling on one another, there is corruption, there is embezzling the funds, mostly in my country. There is a lot of stuff. People want to correct everything so that they can get satisfied. But they cannot. People are killing one another due to greed. And in Mark 8:6-36, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then there, it's where I ask myself, do I want to be part of that? Because we complain about food, mostly youth. I love youth. I usually love to talk to the youth because it's the next generation. We complain about food because it's on the table. And we complain about the job. We complain about the home because we have where to return to. But then, do you know that there are some people who doesn't know even how their parents look like? There are some people who just survive. They don't have food. Even they don't have home. They can't trace where they came from just because of the war. And they have run for their survival into another country. Uganda is more like a refugee correction, like a camp. It is very peaceful. But most of the countries around the country are Muslim countries. And they are almost most of the time there are wars. And Uganda is always welcoming refugees. So when you are talking war, you go in a refugee camp, you're talking to a youth, you're talking to a person, you find that they don't even know their parents, where they went, which side they went to. Are they even still alive? They can't even trace whether east, west, where is home. They don't, because they never had that opportunity. But we have all of this. We complain about the parents because they have that disciplinary love for us. Don't wait to lose them and get to know that it was a blessing to have them. We complain even about our churches. Our churches are very strict. They have strictness. When you go, maybe you move, you shift in another area, it's when you will get to know that your church was a blessing, having a sound teaching. But then all of that we are doing, we are searching things on our own, trying to satisfy ourselves, but we cannot. That lays in our heart. It's only God who can. And sin broke our relationship. Since then, sin broke our relationship with God. In Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin separates us from the one who loves us. But then the devil wants people to believe that sin has no consequences. Sin has consequences. It does. Every hidden sin slowly pushes us away from God. Our addictions, we are comfortably seated in the church with sin, that we are not willingly to repent, that we are not willingly to ask God to help us. We get comfortable in a church, moving as a Christian, and it keeps on pushing us away from God, pushing us away from God, pushing us away from God. And then now eventually prayer becomes difficult. Find that it is very hard to pray. The Bible becomes so dry. You find that you can't understand. You read, but you can't understand. You force yourself and the heart grows cold. And let me tell you, prayer is more than speaking words. It is fellowship with God. And Jesus wants your heart, not just your religion. He needs your heart. In Matthew 15a, we see Jesus confronting the religious leaders. He exposed the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. They appeared righteous and holy before people. They are very careful of the outward religious practices, but their hearts are not devoted to God. They are filled with hypocrisy and disobedience. And as Christian, times have you been there and you say that I want to make God my priority? I want to pray to God. I want to read the Bible. I want to listen to what He is telling me. Or it's just like in the morning, because it is just a ritual, you just like whisper some words and you move and go. Maybe you pray when you're going to eat, or maybe when you have like a very difficult issue, or maybe you have a very hard an interview, it's when you pray. It's not only in time of need, it's every time. God does not only want your Sunday, just only to attend Sunday. He wants your Monday, your Tuesday. He wants every day of your life. God desires genuine relationship. And I'm fully convinced that you can't live a Christian life and avoid the Word of God. But still, we have to let that word of God to discipline our lives, to discipline our lives and to be part of our lives. Not just only getting the Bible and we read it as newspaper. There have to be change. We have to let that word of God to be part of our lives and to discipline our lives, to go in line with God. Because this is the guideline. All that He wanted for a human to know is in the Bible. And He gave us the Holy Spirit, a guide to help us to understand. The cross restored what sin destroyed. Since in the Garden of Eden when we sinned, now here we see in Romans 5:8, but God commanded His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the greatest love story ever told. Jesus did not wait for us to become better. He died for us on that rugged cross, very rough. They are beating Him. He's having a crown of thorn on His head. Even not just only on His head, just it entered in the skull. Nails in His hands. I can't imagine that type of pain. And He was the perfect God with no sin. But He became sin for you and me to be saved. He carried our shame and our guilt, our punishment that we deserved. He stretched out His hands upon the cross. And He was like, it is done. It is finished. We don't have any debt. Now we are called children of God. The sin that separated us from God, cross restored what sin destroyed. And I can't imagine that love, that unconditional love. For by grace we have been saved through faith. By His grace we were saved. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. The cross is God's greatest demonstration of love. Jesus endured unimaginable suffering so that guilty sinners could be forgiven, adopted into God's family, and enjoy a restored relationship with Him forever. And after receiving Him, after receiving His Son, everything changes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. When you truly know God, things change. Your desires begin to change. Your speech changes. Your priority changes. He becomes priority, not your phone. Early in the morning, the first thing to do, it is to check on the phone. Anyone have sent me an email, a message, or anything? But when you make Him your priority, everything changes. He becomes your friend. Your love for people grows because He's in you and God is love. Sin becomes heavier on your heart. Mm-hmm. You find that you can't live with it. Feel like, I should repent this sin that I have been with. I should repent this addiction. I should repent this and this, because you have God in you. You have accepted Jesus Christ to be your personal savior. Everything changes. Prayer becomes so precious. You pray and you feel you're talking to God. It will never be dry because you have that exceptional relationship with God. You feel like you want to be talking to God. You want to listen to God. You want to know what He needs for you, your purpose, because He is your friend and He is God. And Christianity becomes more than tradition. It becomes your daily life. Come to the cross today. The cross is more than a word. It is God's bridge back to Himself. At the cross, the guilty find forgiveness. The broken were healed. Those ones who felt like it is too heavy, I can't be forgiven. I have done a lot of things. I have messed up, but He forgives. And the weary finds rest. If you don't know your home, get in Christ. You will know your home. You will find your home. To those ones who are hopeless, you will find hope. Because Jesus says unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus. There is no any other shortcut. It is only in Jesus. Nowhere else. Today, Jesus is calling you not only to attend church, but walk with Him. One day, every heart will stop beating. Every title will fade. Every position will be left behind. But one question will remain. Did you know Jesus? All of the things that you did, you corrected, are they worthy for this very short time that we are here? And yet we have forever and ever and ever with Christ. He is preparing us to live forever with Him in a perfect place from this confused world. Very noisy world. Everything is confused and everything is not perfect. house. Even church is not perfect, but Christ, He is. And where we are going, it's very perfect. But the only chance that we have, it is to accept Him when we are still here in this imperfect, painful world. As I'm concluding, God can save the sinner you are, but not the saint you tend to be. I will conclude with a verse in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray.